We're going to look again at Psalm 45. I'm going to close it out today. We'll be reading from verse 12 of Psalm 45. The psalmist writes, "And the daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you. With gladness and rejoicing they shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace. Instead of your fathers shall be your sons, whom you shall make princes in all the earth. I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the people shall praise you forever and ever." Just to remind ourselves that this psalm is about a bride and her groom. It's about a wedding that takes place. And in the previous talks, I have likened this to what is called the marriage supper of the Lamb in the book of Revelation, and the Apostle Paul refers to it as well. I have equated the bride with the church of God and the bridegroom as the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll continue with that theme. What we see here, I believe, could be heaven's view of the church. It's a view that is glorious. But if you pick up any book of church history, you will discover within its pages some instances that are glorious. Many, many witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ who have been faithful and good, done good works, and have been martyred for their faith. Often it's a picture of something that is strong and noteworthy and has changed the world. But there are other episodes in church history that are not so glorious. And not wishing to paper over the cracks, some actions of the church have been highly questionable, even downright wicked. But of course, what the Lord sees is the true church. All of those who are part of that blood-bought throng that form the church, the body of Christ. So the vision of the church in this part of Scripture is something that is glorious. In verse 12, it talks about, verse 13, it's the royal daughter. We are a royal priesthood, bought by the blood of Jesus and elevated to a kingdom of priests. We're royal. She is all glorious within the palace. This will be seen at the end of the age, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and of the position of believers in heaven's glory. The church will be seen to be something that is glorious. Her clothing is woven with gold. That purest of substance. I remember our faith can be refined like pure gold, and their garments are woven with gold. So golden garments. In verse 14, she shall be brought to the king in robes of many colours. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Paul shared in this vision of the bride and the bridegroom as being something that is godly and glorious. In verse 14, "She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colours, presented to the king, to be wedded to the king." Robes of many colours, you can cast your mind back to the book of Genesis and the garment that Joseph was given by Jacob, his father, all the trouble that that caused. But nevertheless, it was something that set Joseph apart. A robe of many colours, perhaps, but some description, something that is glorious. And the church is clothed also with glory because we are clothed with Christ. Each true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is clothed with Christ, and we live for him. "The virgins or her companions who follow her shall be brought to you." The church is made up of all classes of people. For instance, if you look at the history of the Brethren Assemblies in the UK, it counted among its numbers those who were called lords. But it also counted amongst its numbers many, many people who were untitled, who were obscure. But all came around the same table, the same level playing field, if I can call it that, because all were one in Christ Jesus. There were none who were set up above the other. They all alike were servants of the living God, bond servants to Christ, and they recognized that. And this is the situation we see in the early church, that there were none elevated above the others. Even the apostles claimed to be servants of the church, slaves for Christ, as they served the people of God. The church of God is made up of all what human or men and women would call classes. All will enter in to that glory that is waiting for us. In verse 16, we see that those are made princes in the earth. The day will come when we will reign with Christ. That day is coming. It's something that the Lord promised in some of his parables, that his followers will be set in positions of high responsibility. We reign with Christ because we are in Christ. Hebrews chapter 2 says this: "For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Many sons brought to glory. And when the Bible uses terms like that, sons, it means all of the children of God, male or female. They will all be brought to glory. We will not miss out because of gender or anything else. And this is all for the glory of God. Verse 17, "I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore the people shall praise you forever and ever." This is all for the glory of God. The glory that we will receive as believers, the crowns that we will have and cast down before him, it's all for his glory. There is a Latin phrase called Soli Deo Gloria, and it's part of what's something that's become to be known as the five solas of the Reformation, the European Reformation. Although it didn't, the actual description of these things didn't come till later. The first one is sola scriptura, by scripture alone. The second one is sola fide, by faith alone. The third is sola gratia, by grace alone. And the fourth is sola Christus, by Christ alone. And the last one is sola Deo gloria, for the glory of God alone. These, I would say, are the true 5 points of Calvinism, and the glory that belongs to the church. That what we believe, what we base our faith upon, is on scripture alone, the word of God. The salvation that we have, it comes by faith alone in Jesus, our Saviour. And it's all by grace alone, by God's grace, that you and I, sinners, are saved, because of the grace of God and the love of God towards us. And it's all achieved by Christ alone. He alone was the one who died upon the cross to bring about our redemption, our salvation, our eternal life, through his shed blood upon the cross. And it's all for God's glory. It's not for my glory. It's not for the glory of the church. It's for the glory of God. Everything points to him and his glory. Everything that he has achieved throughout the Old and the New Testaments is for the glory of God alone. And our service, whatever we do today in his name, during the week in his name, is for the glory of God. And we see this in this psalm, that all of this is so that his name will be remembered, and the people shall praise him forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come with humility, because we have nothing to offer that could secure our salvation. No act, no word of ours can procure that great thing, our redemption. Only our Lord Jesus Christ, only by the will of God and the grace of God can this be done. We've remembered our Lord Jesus Christ this morning in this way that he appointed, with the bread and the cup, remembering him and the cross, the shame and the glory. We give thanks for him, our Redeemer. During this day, Christians throughout the land will be serving their Lord in various ways. Some ways that are obscure and unseen, some ways that are more visible, but all are done for the glory of God. We pray that that may be so amongst our number too. So we pray for your presence and help as we continue to serve the one who gave himself for us. We give praise in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.